produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
You are now tuned into the CEO Mindset with your amazing host, Nicole Gates, with trending topics to empower, encourage, and equip the female business leader.
It is CEO Saturday! My favorite day of the week, where I get to talk to wonderful women who are in business and doing great things around the U.S. Today, I am joined by Marla Marsh, social entrepreneur and CEO. Hey, Marla.
Hey, Nicole.
How are you?
I'm doing well, and how are you?
Oh, I cannot complain. Definitely never complaining on a Saturday. So I want to get started, and I want you to be able to share with all of our listeners today how you became a CEO. Let's start.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, I became a CEO a long time ago. The biggest part of that was me being a mom and having to raise four children by myself. It kind of puts you in a business mode because you have to, you know, facilitate so many different things at one time. But as my children grew and I was able to develop and start having desires of my own and not be so much concerned with, you know, the upbringing of them, I kind of start looking to do things that I like to do. And I've always been a major people person. I love to help people. I love to be around people. So I work with a lot of women that have a lot of challenges that maybe single people or single women or divorced women such as myself had to deal with. And I started being more as a motivational speaker, motivational person to kind of help them through some things that, you know, everybody, as a woman, you have so many challenges in just one day. And sometimes you think you're out there by yourself. So I felt like that a lot of days. So I made the decision a long time ago that if I could ever help anyone to come up and not have the same challenges, or even if you did have the same challenges, know how to come out of it instead of going into depression or having low self-esteem, that I would love to help. And as I worked on a job for 15, 20 years, I decided I don't like sitting behind a desk. And so I've always been more of a hands-on, get out, deal with other people. So I decided that I would open up my own business as an event planner, as an event coordinator. And I did that for a while, and then some things happened. Life happened, and so I had to go in another direction. But I still do it. I just had to change direction. So that's basically what I do. I do a multiple things, and I love it. I love it. As a woman that just hit 50, you never know how your life is after child, you know, raising children until you're able to actually see your own platform and have the decision to make for yourself. So I'm excited about my new challenges that are ahead of me.
Well, that's really cool. And I know you have some things that are underway, a new business that you are launching. So I know you started off, you know, as an event planner. You're doing a lot of stuff in the community, in the church, around motivating women. And I think that kind of spiraled you into this new business venture. So let's talk about this new business venture. Tell us, tell the listeners about your new business venture and what's it called and who's going to be affected by this.
Okay, great. I am launching or preparing to launch a business called 5M Career Training and Placement Agency. And what it basically is helping single women, whether you're a single mom or young single person, whether you have been divorced or maybe lost your spouse by death, and you want to get back into the workforce, you want to get back, you want to try your hand at going for a career, not just a job, because, you know, you can do a job anywhere, but you want to have something fulfilling, you know, that you get up for every day. Being a motivational person, you want to like what you're doing when you open your eyes in the morning. And as a single mom that maybe have the challenges of raising several children or even one nowadays, you know, it's financially challenging. You want to be able to get in a job or a career or in a career that's going to financially benefit you and your child, such as insurance. You want to be able to take advantage of dental, vision, because as you know, nowadays, insurance is so hard with everything that's going on in the government. You have to be able to afford health care. So we want to equip you and train you to get out there to get the right career and be happy if you decide you don't want to be an entrepreneur. You don't want to try your hand at being an entrepreneur, but you do want a career that's going to benefit you. We want to train you as well as motivate you and have group sessions within that can help. We facilitate groups where we can motivate you, and you're not only the one that's being helped, but you can help somebody else as well, too.
That's great, and I know that's something that's needed in the Memphis community, especially really needed all across the country. So, you know, because our listeners come from everywhere, this might be something that propels somebody else in another area to even consider doing a business similar to this. So I thank you
for
that.
Right, absolutely.
So let's talk about challenges, because I think every CEO, myself included, has had challenges in business, right? And, you know, and that's part of the learning process. So I really like to kind of talk about some of those challenges because I think it helps other business women kind of understand that, you know, you're not doing it by yourself. There's other people that's actually going through the same things, and you might have the answer for another CEO. So tell me about maybe two things that you've been challenged with in business and how you conquered that issue.
Well, you know, actually, you go through several different challenges. If you don't go through challenges, I don't think you'll ever be a successful business owner, period. For me, I went through a lot of procrastination, lack of finances when I wanted to start my business. When you're not happy with what's going on with yourself, then you'll present more problems to yourself if you're not prepared. So the best thing I could say is to research you need to be able to have all your ducks in a row, or as many of them as possible. Working with other people that have the same mindset that you have, that can be a challenge, because sometimes, you know, in women businesses, and even in sometimes in our community, sometimes it's sad to say that people want you to help them, but you have to be willing to honor their help with, you know, paying what they ask you to pay, and not looking for a hookup. So you have to have your mindset on, it's going to cost me something to have something that I know that's going to be beneficial to the next person.
I love
so,
that. You know, that's,
yeah.
You bring up actually a really good point, because I think people don't understand it. And I say this all the time. It takes money to make money. We've been hearing that all of our lives. I'm pretty sure you've heard that somewhere. And
oh, yes.
Most of the CEOs I've come across have, the biggest issue I think that I've seen across the board has been money. You know, when we're thinking about opening a business or starting a business or this new business venture, we do need to consider, you know, that financial plan. Last week,
yes,
we talked with Katrina Kimball, who talked about, you know, when we go into business, we write a business plan. We have the marketing plan.
Right.
We have the financial plan. She talked about the wellness plan. So you're actually tapping into that financial plan. So you do have to have,
yes,
or start thinking about, how am I going to finance my business? So that's
right,
a great one. But I want to kind of flip the script, and let's talk about some of your greatest accomplishments. I know you've been in business for quite some time. So tell,
yes,
some of our CEOs who are listening today, what were two of your greatest accomplishments as a CEO?
I will tell you, Nicole, and it might be somewhat biased, but my greatest accomplishment, first of all, was being a mom that I am very proud to be, that I am proud to say that I am. The greatest is I have responsible adult children. That actually is my foundation for getting into business on my own. Because, you know, as a mother, you know how you have a lot of challenges, and if you don't overcome them, those challenges, then your children and the people that are watching you and the people that are you're supporting and are supporting you, if you're not only the one that'll fail, they'll fail as well, too. So to honestly say that my children have decided, two of my children, I can honestly say, have decided to go into business for themselves. My oldest son, he just recently left his job, and he's doing his own business. He has a tire business, and he's a driver. My daughter, she has decided that she got tired of clocking into somebody else's job, and she has a babysitting service. So those are just two of my children that are pursuing after some of my dreams. And my other one is my other accomplishment is when I mentor and coach women, and they actually come back and say, you know what, they helped me so much. The plan that they follow, they actually value my voice because I spend time with them. I talk to them. Sometimes I'm woke. You know, you know how sometimes people wake you up out of your sleep because they have an issue, but I thank God that I have that desire to help. And they don't wake me up a lot, but they do. They say, you know what, thank you. That plan that you gave me, that really helped me. That really, and it's working, and I'm implementing, and I'm sharing it with somebody else. And not to mention, every now and again, they send me something, you know, as appreciation. You know, we always can take a seed. But
right,
those are two of my greatest accomplishments that I can honestly say that has really pushed me to continue to want to, you know, continue to be a CEO.
I love it. When our kids mimic what we do, that is the biggest accomplishment, the greatest. I don't know. I just absolutely love that, you know, the fact that our kids just doing it and they want to do it as well. So it's the biggest compliment, I think, that they can give us by following in our shoes and really wanting to do some of the things that we've already set out to do. So let's talk about your business motto. What is your business motto?
I have one, and it's just saying that we help you balance life from the inside out. A lot of times we put on this facade, we put on the mask. You know, women are known for wanting to be beautiful. I don't care if you don't think you are. You want to be viewed as a beautiful person. Well, not all the time does the makeup do it. You understand? And
We
hide behind that, but when you know who you are, whose you are, why you are, and what your assignment is, then you can honestly say, it doesn't matter what I look like on the outside. I know who I am, and I'm happy with me. So that's what we try to, what we go for. We want to help balance you from the inside out, because you can look like $2 million on the outside, but if you are not worth 2 cents on the inside, it doesn't matter what you look like on the outside.
It doesn't. That's a good point. That's a great point. So, Marla, I want to talk about our success circle, right? I really, truly believe in having a group of people around you, people that sit on your front row of your life and are making a huge impact. I'm not just talking about spectators. I'm talking about people that are pouring into you, people that are, you know, blessing you along the journey of being a CEO. Who are those people in your life? And how did they come about?
Well, I actually can say that you're absolutely right. You're going to have spectators that come and go, you know, the fan clubs or what have you. But my circle, I can honestly say, it's a small circle. And I love my circle. Even when my circle hands me my behind on a platter, I love my circle. But I honestly say the first person that I can say is actually a major person in my life. Well, I'll say two. I'm kind of biased. Tina Bird and Nicole Gates have poured into me, have sewn into me, have handed me my tail on a platter, have loved me, have given me wisdom, knowledge, and understanding about stuff when I want to give up. No, stop it. Let it go, you know. And then my pastors, I belong to the Pursuit of God Transformation Center under the leadership of Apostle Ricky and Pastor Sheila Floyd. They are a big influence. I learned a lot of things to do and some things what not to do, you know. As my spiritual parents, they've had a great influence in my life. And even last but not least, my girlfriend, my friend and one of my accountability partners is Monique Williams. She has given me not only wisdom but great legal advice, because I believe you have to have, you know, the body has many members, and some of them just a little bit stronger and a little bit more supportive than other people. But she has always been there to successfully help me through a lot of things that I didn't understand. And then that special guy that's in my life, He's one of my biggest fans. He's very, very supportive of me. And I probably wouldn't be the woman today that I am without the support that he's given me.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And I'm always honored when somebody says my name. And I just, you know, I hope to always be an influence to women in business because I strongly, strongly believe that every woman should have some type of business. You know, there's yes. always something that we can do. We all have some skill that is a marketable skill that will sometimes be that extra money that you need or whatever. For me now, it's full time. I do my business full time. Yeah. I'm working my passion, and that's important. So I really appreciate when somebody actually says my name. I was like, wow, you know, it's good to know it's making an impact, you know. So let me ask, before we close out, I always like to know, where are you going in business? What plans do you have to actually grow your business? I know you're just getting started with a new business venture, but I know you continue to do the event planning, the wine tastings, and women and wine. We didn't even talk about that, but we will get to that subject. I guess we'll have to do a part two.
I guess so.
I'll just do a part two. Yes. So let's talk about, I mean, because I know your desire is to grow your business and to eventually one day break away and be able to do your business full time, because that
yes.
is your passion. So how yes. are you planning yes. to do that? What steps are you taking right now to make that happen?
Actually, this time with this particular business, because I'm so passionate about it, I am doing so much research on the pros and the cons of the things that I need to do to make this business successful. As I said, the name of it is the 5M Career Placement and Job Placement Agency. And for a business such as that, it's not only going to propel other women to get into it, I want to also propel other women to open up and help other women. You know, it's a wonderful thing when we can help each other, and even if it might not be your idea, but if you can take it, if it's something you're passionate about, run with it. I don't have a problem helping and training and teaching anybody else to do something that's going to benefit the next woman. I've always felt like that, but we're in the process of locating a facility and being able to finance it. So, you know, like you said, we talked about how you have to be financially, you know, able to prepare for your vision. But we want to grow, and hopefully, Nicole, it's not only in Memphis, but it's in Atlanta or Florida or Michigan or Wisconsin or Texas or wherever God sees fit for it to go. We want to be able to travel. We want to be able to still get out and reach and help, because you know how many women hurt in one
yeah,
day. I mean,
absolutely.
Just hurt, period. You know, so you got to be able to travel.
Absolutely, absolutely, because I think your services are needed everywhere. So I want to always give an opportunity. If there's somebody listening today and there's something that resonated with you on this show and you would like to reach out to Marla, Marla, share with them as we close how they can get in touch with you using your social media handles or email or whatever way you prefer.
Okay. First of all, if you would like to reach out to me, you can reach out. We are actually going to be launching a new Facebook page in the next day. We had to do some maintenance. We ran across some things. But we will be launching a new Facebook page, and it's called Next Chapter Builders. And that's it's actually a private group. But if you inbox me on my Facebook page, which is Marla Marsh, M-A-R-L-A, M-A-R-S-H, and inbox me and say, hey, I want to be a part of the group. I will happily, you know, communicate with you and tell you how we can get you into our group. Otherwise, my number, don't have a problem sharing, 901-550-4354. And that's how you
well,
reach
Marla
Marks.
Oh, keep going. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's how you reach us. Once again, it's Next Chapter Builders, where we help you heal, you know, we help you balance life from the inside out.
Love it. Marla, I want to thank you again, always, for being willing to come on the show, share some of your failures, your successes. For my listeners, I want you to remember the CEO mindset is all about where we've been, where we are, and where we're trying to go. Have a great day.
Have a great day.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA. 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.
Right there, right there. Come on. Yeah. Let's go.
Hello out there, everyone. My name is Sturman Tush, and I'm glad to be back with you on another episode of your show, Musicians War Room. Wow, I know it's been a while. It's been a while, and I'm sorry that I've not been able to speak with you for a while, but I'm back right now, back fully, back with grace, back with power. Thank you, Finding My Way Radio Network, for holding this down for me for a while that I've not been on the show, and I want to appreciate the producer, Kayla Paget, and every other person walking right there. Thank you so much. I love you all. I love you. I love you. I love you. Yeah, so it's been a while that we've been talking about so many things that concerns music industry, the church, and all of that. And I know you've been learning a lot of things. And I'm here today to take it a little bit deeper. And I'm going to step it down today. Today, I'm going to talk about something that is critical, something that people talk about and something that people always want to shy away from, because it's a very sensitive topic. Very sensitive. And what is that? We're talking about the relationship between the music industry or the artist and the church. The relationship between the choir and the pastors. The relationship between the church, the clergy, and the Christian artist. Now, this has been a hot topic for a while right now. People have had so many things to say about it. When you talk to musicians and artists, you find them telling you that, oh, you know what, the church doesn't appreciate music ministry, the pastors don't appreciate us, we don't have platforms, the money and the rewards are not there. When you talk to the church and the leaders and the church, you hear them say stuff like, oh, you know what, Christian artists are not serious, choir members are not serious, and so many things, accusations flying back and forth. But I'm not here today to treat these accusations. I'm here to go back to the basics. What exactly is the relevance of the church to the Christian artist? What is the reciprocate gesture that the church, the artist should have? What is the posture that the artist is meant to have towards the church, towards the pastors, towards the church leadership? What exactly, how are things meant to be? Originally, we're going to go back to that basics. I'm going to share these things with you. We're going to have this conversation together, and I'm going to expect your questions. I'm going to wait to hear you ask me questions, and you can always send me your mail on hemedymusic@gmail.com, hemedymusic@gmail.com, and I'm going to answer those questions right on the show. All right, so we're going to look at these things on this show today. I'm going to start this with a piece of music. Let's get into some worship, and this is Nobody Like You by Afe Nathan. Enjoy this one.
I will lift up my hands to you. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory song to you, great and mighty is who you are. Nobody like you, nobody like you. Alpha, nobody like you. Omega, nobody like you. I will lift up my hands to you, Lord. I will lift up my voice to you and sing a victory, oh Lord, song to you, great and mighty. Nobody like you, nobody like you. Alpha, nobody like, nobody like you, Lord. Omega, nobody like you, nobody. Nobody like, nobody like you. Omega, nobody like you. Cause any mire, cause any mire. Oh, blue, cause any mire. Nobody like you, nobody like you. Alpha, nobody like you. El Shaddai, Elohim, Elion, nobody like you, nobody like you. Show out all the earth, and I find nobody like you, nobody like you, nobody like you. I've just come to encourage someone out there today, and I say to you that whatever situation you find yourself, I need you to see God in that situation. No matter how low, I need you to see God in it. No matter how bad, no matter how terrible, I need you to see God in that situation. If only you can see God. If only you can find God. I need you to be focused. I need you to get your praise on. I need you to get your worship on. And let it flow from the inside of you to the audience of one, to the King of Glory.
Yes, yes, let your worship flow. Let your praise rise to the audience of one. No matter what you're going through, no matter what circumstances are facing you right now, just know that God is right there. It's just a call away. Glory to Jesus. Yes, yeah, so we're talking about the church and the artists. Now, let me debunk a particular mindset or frame of thought that people have been sharing over the years. People say that, you know what, if the church doesn't give you a platform, As an artist, you know, you can just give yourself your own platform. You don't really need a church. No, no, no. That is wrong. That is wrong. People that say, people who say certain things, you know, they talk out of heart. And I understand. I understand that you've been hurt by people. I understand that probably some leaders in the church has they've hurt you in times past. Now, I'm not going to go into whether you were was legit or not, but I really understand how you feel. But never let your emotions cloud your judgment. I understand that you've been hurt, but you see, it is wrong to say that the artist or the singers or the choir or, you know, Christian music industry doesn't need the church or doesn't need the pastors. I remember in the Bible, you know, when Nehemiah was building, rebuilding the walls of Jerusalem, building the temple, one of the things that was striking in that story is that as the guys were building, the prophets were with them. The Bible says that the prophets were beside them. Now, the prophets were not there holding the brick and all of, the bricks and all of that. The prophets were there strengthening them by speaking words. By speaking words. So I'm going to say that, first of all, like I said, you know, in quite some episodes back, you are first of all a Christian before being an artist, before being a musician. So what that means essentially is that you are subject to the ministry of the pastors, the prophets, the evangelists, the teachers, okay? The fivefold ministry. It is important. The apostles, it is important. You have them. They are meant to feed you. They are meant to empower you. They are meant to energize you. They can give you platforms, but that is not the primary role of the church. And I need us to get that straight. Now, many of us, we expect too much. In fact, we expect things that we, you know, you find out that an artist will release a song and then the artist will just sit down and fold his or her arms and expect that, well, you know what, my church should help me promote my song. Now, I know that's far, but I've met artists like that who do nothing. They don't brand themselves well. They don't go on social media. They don't talk to music PR folks. They don't do anything to promote their music. They just go to the studio, release a song. Even the money that they used to go to the studio, they had to beg around for it. Now they got the money, get to the studio, release the song. And they just feel that, well, because I'm anointed, the song will fly. Or because my church is great and they're going to help me promote my song. Now that is an extreme. That is totally wrong. That is wrong. That is not the job of the church. You are the artist. You are the one who has been called into music ministry. And like Paul said to Timothy, I'm going to say to you, take heed, give attention to the ministry that you have been given. Now, Paul was telling Timothy to tell a man, okay, called Archippus, that he should give heed and give attention to the ministry has been given. So it is your ministry. It is your assignment. What impute, what are you putting into it? You're not putting anything into it. So that is not the job of the church. But the job of the church and the pastors and the leaders, they are meant to, is to empower you, is to feed you, is to pray for you, is to be a prophetic voice over your life, over your ministry. So once that is settled, then you are in good shape. You are in good stand. And I want to encourage and I want to also counsel our church leaders that, you see, for us to move forward in the music industry, we need to take this mindset away that, oh, artists are not serious. They don't want to really go deep. I understand that there are a few bad eggs everywhere. But you see, you have to understand that there are some people who are passionate about music ministry and they really want to do well at it. So the job of our church and our leaders is to help the artist to grow. That is on the spiritual side. Now, there's also something else on the technical side. One of the things that pastors should understand is that music is global. Music is expanding every day. And so the church choir is essentially the kitchen or the manufacturing spot where artists are created. So if a singer comes from your church and goes out to release songs and becomes a recording artist, the quality of that artist in terms of the conviction, the message, the songs, the musicality, everything there reflects your investment in the church. So if a singer comes out of your church that and starts doing anyhow and releases wishy-washy songs, it shows that you had wishy-washy investment. It shows that your investment in that artist wasn't sound. So The church, you need to understand that you have a direct personal take over every artist. Don't just say that, well, the artist just did what he or she wants to do because he's not serious. No. God is going to ask you. Because God entrusted you with that singer. God entrusted you with that instrumentalist. And see how he or she has turned out. So we need to ensure that our building of our singers and our choir is well-rounded. As much as you are praying for them and encouraging them and you're building them up and speaking words over them, you also need to make investment into them technically, musically. There are many churches today that they have not invested anything in their music team, no equipment to work with, no training. I mean, you have a choir and they have not gone for any formal training in the past 2 years. You just keep on telling them, work, watch videos, listen to music. Yes, but many of them did not go to music school. They just love God and they have a natural voice to sing and they have a passion to serve. So you need to supply that extra knowledge, extra motivation for them to learn. So many of us in the church, many pastors are not even doing enough to be able to build these people. Many of us, many pastors say, you know what, I can't rent, I can't pay instrumentalists, I can't pay anybody to come and do anything in my church for music. I believe that is not right. Because there are times where you will need to seek professional advice and you will have to pay for it. There are times you will need to seek professional church on your music and you will need to pay for it. So if there's a music director or there's a singer out there who you know that is good and has what your choir needs to be supplied to it, you should be able to pay for it. Don't see that you are paying them for what they are doing. See it as your financial investment. See it like you are sending your choir members to school and what you are paying is the tuition fee. It's that simple. It's that simple. You see, if we don't make this investment, you find out that you release singers and instrumentalists in your church that know nothing about music, and that is really affecting us. Let me tell you something. When you see what is happening in the Christian music industry, it's a reflection of what is happening in our churches. And so it's like the adults saying that, well, the children of nowadays, the millennials, have turned out the way they want to turn out because they just have a mind of their own. I beg to disagree. Because the adults raised these millennials. So whatever the millennials have become is a direct representation of the investment of the older generation in them. So I want to encourage pastors. This is a time to take your church music serious. Get them gadgets. Get them the right equipment. Provide the atmosphere for them to learn. Bring people to train them. Employ reliable hands. This is one of the things that is expected of you to do. Now I'm talking about what are the expectations? What do we expect the church to do for artists? What does the artist want and need? And then on the part of the singers, what is your role and your responsibility to the church? Now, before I go for my next break, let me share it with you. I believe that it's important that every Christian artist finds a church, all right? Find a church that you can serve. So the problem many times is that some pastors have been hurt as well. And I'm going to say this. They've poured a lot and invested so much in some people. And after a while, they go to the biggest dealer. They go to the person who is paying the biggest. And that is wrong. You need to be loyal. Like I said, you're not in your church. You're not in your church because you are trying to look for platforms. Yes, they can give you platform. But essentially, as a Christian, you need a church. So if you're not a musician, won't you have a church? Be committed somewhere. So if you want someone to invest in you, then you have to be loyal to them. If I'm a pastor and I feel that, oh, if I pour so much in you and you become good, the moment someone else sees something good in you and is offering you something bigger, you're going to go. And naturally, I'm going to feel like, oh, that would make me feel hurt. Now, I understand that you don't reap where you sow, but you reap what you sow. But you also have to understand that pastors are human beings. Yes, there are times where you invest in someone and that person is meant to actually be a benefit to someone else and you have to just let them go. I understand that. I understand that it's not everywhere you invest in or everyone you invest in that will end up returning back to you or staying around you for a while. I understand that. But you see, as artists, we need to be loyal to our leaders and loyal to our church, loyal to our pastors. Give your all. Stay in a place. I know many music directors and many artists who don't have a church. You can't place them somewhere. They're always moving around from one place to another. I don't think that is right. I don't think that is right. You should be in a place. You should be planted. You should be planted. You should be planted. Be loyal. Be loyal to a place. All right? So that is your responsibility as a Christian artist, that you are submitting to a leadership. You're submitting to a pastor. You're submitting to a church. And you are adding value to that space, to that choir. Let people around you feel your impact. Let them feel your knowledge. All right? So as the church is investing in you, you are putting back as well. All right? Okay, so I'm going to wrap this up after this music break, and we're going to, you know, continue for the episode. So this is Sinach. You know her. Waymaker, Sinach, great worship leader, singing this one, "Great Are You, Lord." Enjoy this worship piece.
God is great and greatly to be praised. So every morning when I wake up, I always remind myself that God is bigger than any situation. God is bigger than any economy. God is bigger than any currency. And that God is bigger than my dreams. And that before you ever dreamed it, He knows. And He cares so much. And if you're feeling that nobody cares for you right now, God is bigger. And He says, "I am the great one. You just see how big that I am in your life. And I'll do the rest." Just lift up your hands and just worship Him and tell Him how great He is. Greatly to be praised.
It's a privilege to worship You, Maker of all universe. It's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands and holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty. It's a privilege to worship. Maker of the whole universe, it is an honor.
It's an honor just to stand
before You. With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to You, proclaiming, Lord, You live. With a grateful heart. Proclaiming, Lord, You reign. Lord, You reign.
Great are You, Lord.
Greatly to be praised. Greatly to be praised. Father, You reign.
Great are You, Lord.
Greatly to be praised. To be praised, Father, we lift up our hands, You reign. We worship You, You reign.
Holy, holy, come on.
Holy, holy, God Almighty.
Is a privilege.
He's a privilege to worship.
Maker of all,
Maker of all universe,
it is an honor.
He's an honor just to stand.
Lift up your hands, say, "Holy, holy,
holy, holy God Almighty."
Oh Lord,
He's a privilege to worship.
You're the Maker.
Oh,
to stand before
you. Come on.
With a grateful heart, I lift my hands to you. Proclaim the Lord you. Proclaim the Lord you reign, Lord you reign. Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord. Great to be great. Great to be great. Father, you reign. Great are you, Lord.
Great are you, Lord. I just couldn't stop that. That was a powerful song. Great are you, Lord. I'm sure you were lost in worship right there. All right, so I'm about to wrap up the show for the day. We're going to continue this conversation, you know, subsequently. So like I said, the church has its roles. The artist, you have your role. And this is what I'm going to end with. This is going to be my ending thought to us today on this episode. You see, we need to get to a point where we realize that we need one another. We need one another. I sincerely believe that the Christian music industry and essentially gospel music needs to take over, because we have the message, we have the power, we have the grace, we have what it takes to turn our world around. The world out there, what you find people doing is they're singing all sorts of songs, and you find our young people turning into so many things, and they are being negatively influenced by the music, and we have what it takes. But you see, we cannot do this by ourselves. We cannot do this on our own. We need that prophetic backing. We need that synergy. We were never meant to do this by ourselves. Taking over is not a single man's job. I want you to understand that. It's not something that I'm going to do. You know, when you find new artists come out and say, you know what, I'm coming out with my first single, it's going to be the banger, I'm taking over the music industry, I'm going to turn this around, it's all a lie. Only you alone can do it. We need one another. And I want you to just take this mindset with you and just know that, you know what, I need my brother, I need my fellow artists. Thank God for my number one hit single nationwide, but I cannot do it by myself. If I'm the only one having hit singles, then nothing's going to happen. I need other people to rise up. And as artists, we also need the church. Let us go into the weekend, into our week, into our month, into the rest of the days of the year with that mindset that we need one another. I need you, you need me. Thank you so much. I'm going to continue on the next episode talking about the relationship between church and the artist, between the singers, between the ministry, the music ministry, and the church leadership. Thank you so much for listening to me today. I'm Tommy Tish, and I'm signing out today. Thank you, everyone. God bless you.
Right there, right there. Come on.
Let's go!
Yes, sir. When there's war outside, higher peace inside, favor covers me. When it's casting down, I keep rising higher. Favor covers me.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
Hello, children around the world. It's story time with Princess Leah and our poor Susie. Oh, it's happy. Never mind. So today, I want to tell you all that I'm so glad that you thought about me on my birthday. Thank you, all of you that, you know, thought about me. And I want to say hello, Kayla Padgett, CEO, founder of Finding My Way Network. You are my twin forever. Big smile. And hello, parents out there who have let their children listen to me, Princess Leah Camille, who is awesome. So today, I'm going to be talking about how to feed thousands of people. This is about how Yeshua led the people into the wilderness. It's a familiar story. We all know it probably as how the little boy gave his lunch, you know, that one. So I'm going to tell you that story. So Yeshua led the people into the wilderness, teaching them the scriptures, and they had probably been walking for hours. You know, those long, long, long car trips where you don't want to sit in there. The only way for you to stay in there is to either have your video game or to listen to YouTube music. Ugh, I've been there. So that's probably what this felt like. Mom, are we there yet? Dad, are we there yet? You know what I'm talking about. So they had been walking for hours and hours and hours. And so they had wanted food service while listening to Yeshua, but there weren't any random gas station stores in the middle of nowhere like today. So, dude, are we going to starve or what? Yeshua, we need food. We've been sitting here for hours, and now we're really hungry. Can we, like, go to the gas station or something? There were no gas stations. So they had to figure out another way to get food because they had been sitting there from morning until evening, usually like our churches today. So after hearing the complaints of the people for quite a long time, the disciples found a little boy who was willing to give us his lunch. Now, how many of you guys at school share or trade your lunches? Raise your hand. Oh, wait, I can't hear you or see you, so just forget it. So I know most of you probably do that. I have done that a few times, giving my lunches to people because they had no food. And I'm not doing that again because I don't want to. But you guys have known what it's like to give and trade food and stuff. So this little boy was kind of like that. So he had the loaves and the fishes. He's like, I have some food. I can share with all these people. Now, you have to think. There were a ton of people here. Like, a lot. A lot more than church. Well, maybe. Probably. So, there were lots of people here. And there were only a few loaves and fishes. So, the math doesn't really add up. So, he's just willing to give away his food. So, Yeshua took the 7 loaves, and he broke them and the fishes, and they did set them before the people. You can find this in Mark 8. I'm on 7, verse 7. That's verse 7. So, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed them and commanded them to be set before the people. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left in the baskets. So yeah, you know how you have leftovers and mom makes you eat all the leftovers the night after you eat, and you're just like, why, mom, we had this yesterday. So they had 7 baskets. If you took 7 baskets home of leftovers, I'm pretty sure you'd get really tired of eating that food, but you've got to eat it. So they had 7 baskets left over, and it's a miracle. I mean, like, he blessed the food. Now, when he says blessed food, that's kind of like when we say our grace. It's important to say our grace, so We say that all harm, impurities, diseases, all that stuff, so we won't get sick. It's important to pray before we eat. And even we sometimes might forget to pray. My mom might have to remind me sometimes. Even personally, it doesn't pray, say her grace all the time. But it's important to do that. Yeshua is being a good example of what we should do before we eat meals. And it was just a good, great miracle. Another one of those miracles Yeshua performed, because these were people. I mean, if we said grace, maybe, of course, Yahuwah could use us to do that, to give all this bread and stuff. We could do that with Yahuwah's help. He can break bread and give it to thousands of people. But I'm pretty sure if you just say grace, and right now, I don't think you would give people all that bread just by saying grace. Yeshua did that miracle, though, so for the people who came in late today, Yeshua led the people in the wilderness, teaching them the scriptures, and they had been walking for hours. Yes, car trip. Just in there, bored. Don't know what to do. You're just in there asking, are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Your mom makes you sing that same song over and over again until you finally get to your destination. People had been walking. He was probably talking to them as they were walking, saying stuff about the scriptures and teaching them. So even when they were walking, they weren't sitting. He still was teaching them. His disciples were helping, even though they were just like, they keep complaining. What do we do? There's no food out here, and we can't just send them back. It's a long way from here. And then today we have gas stations, all these other places, and food, and how we have this food and we go to gas stations to get it. They didn't have that back then. So then they had to go and sit, and they've just been out there all day in that sun from morning until the afternoon. They were just sitting. They didn't have any food. And then the boy, this shows us how we can be. When other people are in need, we need to be able to give what we have. Like, let's just say you go to this place. You know how your mom takes you to these places and you have shoes that you don't wear anymore, shirts, toys that you don't play with. Yeah, me, toys that I don't play with. And you just keep it in your room. It's just cluttering up your room even more. So why would you keep all that stuff in your room? You need to give it away. Give it to people who are in need. That's a good example of how we should be, even us as kids. It's not just grown-ups who give to the poor and needy. We should be able to give to other people that need items just as we do. And we need to stop complaining about food. Stop being so picky. I know Princess Leah is sometimes picky too, so I get that. I may not want to eat certain food. I'm like, Mom, what is this? But we need to eat what we have before, because they work all the time for us. They do all these things for us, and we complain and complain and complain. Mom, I want this video game. I don't like this food. Is this the food that Yahuwah gave you? You need to eat it. Okay. Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I don't like spinach. Ew. I don't like tofu. But if that's what you have to eat, then eat it. I mean, now, if you're like these other kids out there who don't have any food and they have to drink dirty water, then all they have to eat are beans. Would you? You wouldn't complain about if you ate that if you didn't have any other choice. You'd eat it if you were starving. So there's no difference in what we should be doing now. We should be grateful for what we have, not complaining about, like, I don't want this. Ew, what is that? I don't like broccoli. Ew. Salads are gross. It's healthy anyway. Eat it. And my parents take me out to eat, but I don't go and try to say, Mom, let's go there today. I don't do that after the day we just ate yesterday. Why would I do that? You can't go out to eat every day. We have something that's called a budget. So you can't just go out and eat every day. You can't get all this expensive stuff from Walmart and these shops you'd be going in with all these clothes and stuff you want, because they work and they don't have money to spend on just random stuff going out to eat all the time. That's why we eat at home. Eat some cereal. Eat a Pop-Tart. I love eating Pop-Tarts in the evening time. So after hearing the complaints of the people, don't complain. The disciples found a little boy who was willing to give his lunch. Probably didn't want to eat it anyway. So he just gave it away, and they had 7 baskets left over. That's a miracle. I mean, even though you won't want to eat 7 baskets of leftover when you get home, it's still a blessing. You have food. You can give it away. Like, people don't, that's what we do. We get baskets and bags, and we put food in there. We do a lot of stuff for these people who don't have as much as we do. Because we mess over food. We don't have all this food away. So if you don't want to eat it, then give it away. I mean, I'm not saying you should be picking to leave it out there intentionally, but you should have a spirit to want to give. And that's a good thing. Princess Leah goes and helps her mom give away food and clothes to people who don't have as much. We do that almost every year. And it's good to be able to help. You'll have a good feeling, actually, when you do that. The Holy Spirit will convict you, and he'll be like, wow, it actually feels good to be given to these people. That's how I feel, helping my mom pack bags. And Kayla does it, too. I'm her twin, so she's a good example. Look at me. I'm just like Kayla. So she does that, too. And I just think that's so awesome. We should be able to do that. And I'm pretty sure that you didn't know that Kayla did that. So I'm just telling you, she does that. She's a visionary. She goes out there and does things that most of people, we don't want to do it right now. We're just so lazy. That's another part. We're just lazy, and we don't want to give away stuff. I feel so sad because these people just don't want to be a blessing to other people that don't have as much toys, food. I mean, how are we going to live without food? They need it. People out there living on the streets now. They don't have anywhere to go, and we need to give out food to them like Kayla had to do. She's such a great example. And everybody had a buffet meal anyway, so all these people, the women were there, the kids were there, they had enough to eat, the men, they were out there eating. That's good. They had all the food they needed right there, and after that, they didn't even complain about what they were eating. I mean, at first they did because they didn't have any food, but they ate it all. Well, not all of it, since there were 7 baskets, but this is a great miracle that Yeshua performed. And all the people, the little boy, the disciples that helped, it's good. And I mean, some of us complain about, like, when we're going out somewhere, we have, like, an engagement to go to, like, I have violin practice, something similar to that. Why don't you pack your food up from at home? That's what my dad would want me to do, my mom and dad. I have food at home I can take to practice, but sometimes we're just like, oh, we don't have any food at home, Mom. And you look in the refrigerator, a microwavable food you can put in the microwave or the oven is just sitting in there. Why don't you cook that? And there's some chips over in the basket. Why don't you take that to wherever you're going? So, yeah, it's just about being grateful and how Yahuwah blesses people like this. And it's great to see how these people can go out and are willing to do that. I mean, us as kids, we just think we have to sit back and watch our parents or older people do things, like how we have salvation. We think, oh, I'll do that when I get older. It'll always be there, but why don't you do it now? I mean, there's no certain time you have to have salvation. You know that, right? And that's kind of how we are when our parents go and do stuff for people, like charity events. We just want to sit back and watch them do what they're doing. Why don't you help? I help my mom all the time with what she does, and I feel good to be able to help people, help people out there who may not have as much as we do. And so this is how we are in church, too, because I'm looking at how Yeshua was teaching them the scriptures, and we're sitting in there just listening to the pastor. That's another thing I thought about. We just sit in there like, when are we going to leave yet? We've been in church for hours. That's how we are. I'm thinking about that. Why are we in a hurry to leave church? I mean, we should be attentive and want to learn more about Yahuwah, not just sitting in there like some of us kids maybe sleep. Oh, well, I'm not talking about the babies exactly because they really can't. They don't understand anything anyway. But us kids, we shouldn't be in there just doodling, falling asleep while the pastor's talking. We should be attentive and want to learn more about him. Not ready to, Mom, what are we going to eat? It's, church is over, so can we go eat now? That's how some of us think. Some of us go back to, like, when we used to say, Mom, it's Sunday. Let's go eat after church. That's how most of us think. I mean, I used to think like that. So, yeah, most of us think like that. And I think blessing people is more important than just, you know, wanting to stop doing important things for Yahuwah. And so we also know what happened back then about how they didn't have gas station stores and whatnot. They had to, you know, sit out there and listen. And that little boy had a good spirit, the spirit to want to give. And he's a good example, too. And how we should pray over our food every time. And how Yeshua had 7 baskets of leftovers. He's performed lots of miracles. And in Mark 8, I'm going to go there so I can read it to you. Okay, I'm in Mark 8. In those days, the multitude being very great and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and said unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. See, he didn't just stand there and just let them starve. He had a good spirit to want to give them something to eat while he was teaching. So, they have been here with me 3 days. 3 days! Ugh, 3 days with no food? Oh. And if I send them away fast into their own houses, they will faint by the way. For divers of them came from far. Yeah. They've been out there for 3 days, and he doesn't want them to pass out while they're walking home. So he had compassion on those people, and he wanted to give them something to eat right now. And the disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? No gas stations. And he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. And he, see, look, there was 7 loaves of bread. And then there were 7 baskets left over. That's kind of interesting. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground. And he took 7 loaves and gave thanks. And he broke them and gave to his disciples to set before them, and they did set before the people. And they had a few small fishes. He blessed them and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And there's a little bit more too. And they had eaten for about 4,000. See, 4,000 people. That's a lot. And how would anybody be able to feed 4,000 people? Not even the restaurant can do that. I bet you that. And straightway he entered a ship with his disciples. So the Pharisees came forth and began to question him. Heaven tempting him. So that's another thing. We're still in Mark 8, so I'm just going to go with that too. Finish reading Mark 8. And the Pharisees came forth and began to question with him, seeking of him a sign from heaven, tempting him. And when he sighed deeply in his spirit and saith, why doth this generation seek after a sign? Verily I say unto you, there shall no sign be given unto this generation. He left them, entering into the ship again, departed to the other side. See, why does everybody want a sign? Like, I know Yeshua performed all these miracles, but why do we need a sign? Why can't we just believe that he's real? All of us are so skeptical about him being real. Like, I don't think he's real. He doesn't really do anything. Did you pray? Did you pray right? I don't think you did. He's not answering your prayers right now. That doesn't mean he's not going to answer them. It's just not right now. Maybe it's not the right time that he wants to answer it. And some of you guys, we question Yeshua too. We'll be all like, I didn't even think if he was real. He doesn't do anything in my life. I know, right? I prayed, and then he just didn't answer. Yeah, sure. You weren't praying right, maybe? I mean, there's no wrong prayer, but maybe he just doesn't want to answer him right now. Maybe he didn't have a good heart while you were praying. So, that was Mark 8. And they were in the wilderness, Yeshua following. That's how we should be. We should be able to follow Yeshua for several days all of our life. But they were out there, and they were willing to follow him through the wilderness with no food, and they just listened. That's how we should be. But even though towards the end they complained, we should be willing to sit and listen to him for a long time, forever, through our lifetime. And we should be able to want to listen to him and follow him and have a good spirit and want to learn more about him, do things for him. So some of us as kids, we just don't feel like it's our time. Our parents are doing all that stuff. We'll do it when we get old. You can do it now. You can be a servant to Jesus, and you can want to serve him. Like, CEO Kayla Padgett does that. I am so glad to be your twin because she is an inspiration to me. Like, she goes around doing all this cool stuff. She goes and she has her show, and I'm just so grateful to be her twin because I am inspired to do what's right too. I want to be just like her, be more like Yeshua, and that's how we should be. We should want to be more like, we should have a role model in our lives that we can look up to, and we should say, I want to be like them because they have a good spirit. They have a spirit like Yahuwah, and that should be a good inspiration. We should want to follow Yeshua, and we have role models that will help us get there, like our parents. Our parents should be good role models. My parents are good role models. My mom, I really look up to her. My dad, they really inspire me. They want to be more like Yahuwah. They talk to me, and they pray with me. That's a good, what we should be like, you know? We should be like that with our kids when we get older, and we should want to pray with them. And it's really good that we have figures in our lives, like even our siblings, our sisters, it could be an aunt or grandparent. If they have a good spirit like Yahuwah, then that's good. We should want to be more like them. And so I'm just going to wrap up, and I'm going to say that I have my literature program for my kids, and that I want to say it's coming soon. It says Leah, pro-literacy campaign. It's going to be coming soon, pretty soon, and I'm going to be sharing with you guys reading and lots of other cool stuff. And I want to say hello again to Kayla Padgett. And thank you for letting me get on my show. Thank you so much. And for all the parents out there who let their kids listen to me today, so, or grandparents, or aunts, or siblings. And I'm going to pray. Yahuwah, we thank you for today, and we thank you for everything you've done for these kids. And we thank you for their parents, and their aunts, and just anybody that's there for them. And I thank you for everybody else in the world, and that you died on the cross for us, and that we can be made anew, and that we can follow you and have that choice to be with you in heaven. And I thank you for Kayla Padgett, and that you would keep her safe on today, and the missionaries, the president, everybody in the world today. And I thank you for pro-literacy campaign for Princess Leah, and that the kids out there will read and want to learn more about you, read their Bibles and study them. And that you will continue to work through me and Kayla Padgett and all those other people out there who the kids look up to. And so I thank you for just another year. The year's about to end again. Thank you for my birthday. And I thank you for my parents especially, because they were here for me all this time. And we thank you for just, you know, blessing us and letting us see another day. In Yeshua's name, amen. So I'm going to see you guys next time. And I really thank you for listening to me and, you know, my birthday. And thank you for praying for me. And I'm glad that I can be talking to you guys on through the radio. See you next time. Bye.
Produced by Kayla Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA.
1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers. 1-888-201-5313.